Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Rebecca Johns coming to you live. Forgive us our little bumpy start to today's show. A little tech issue Tuesday is what I was having there just now. My name is Rebecca Johns. I'm coming to you live March 28th, 2023. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. here in Southeast Michigan. I'm loving Tuesdays. Tuesdays are a fantastic day for me. I've got the radio show this afternoon. I teach Let There Be Light this evening at 7 p.m. for those of you who tuned in last week and heard me speak with the good Reverend Dr. Rocco Arrico and his book, Let There Be Light, The Seven Keys to Understanding the Ancient Holy Scripture. Great AM Radio is really for all people. And while I dwell on the distinctions of the Bible, it is because I dwell on the distinctions of the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth and the spirit of oneness, the philosophy of oneness that he taught, that we are one with the Creator is one with us, and that we are one with each other by spirit in that Creator. And so the work that we do through the Godly Woman is holistic healthcare, services, coaching, products, support so that you can learn and heal and learn to heal. Not so that we can feed you fish, so to speak, but so that we can make you educated people who can fish for yourselves. That's what activating the Great I Am is really all about. And our counterpart nonprofit, Heaven on Earth Ministries, the other sponsor to this radio broadcast, is there as an outreach arm to help people who can't otherwise finance that support that they need for healing and gleaning in the way that the Godly Woman offers. So the nonprofit is there as an outreach, as a financial resource, as a resource for people to really stop hurting and begin healing and to stand in the power that is truly a birthright. And what I've seen is that regardless of your philosophical background, your socioeconomic background, even your religious background, human beings ultimately believe that something more is possible, that there's something in us, that if we could just tap into it. You know, in psychology, they say that we're using 12% of the mind potential consciously, that the rest of it, almost 90%, that's significant, right, sits in a subconscious domain where it's there, it's chipping in, it's got power, it's got purpose, it's got play, it dictates, but it dictates from a blind spot. And so what would it be like for human beings if we could learn techniques, methods, if we could learn philosophies, teachings, modalities that genuinely allowed us to tap into that and utilize it, powered mentally, emotionally, to heal. And not just mentally, emotionally, physically. There are physical overcomings that are possible when we tap into that essence within. And there are a lot of paths to that essence, my friends. What called me in these 50 years is the path of spirit, the path of natural medicine, the path of ontology, understanding the beingness of human, and what it means for us when we genuinely optimize that essence of that Creator within. That's what's called to me. What are you called to? What pathway is calling you to explore and discover holistic empowerment and healing? And that brings me to today's guest. I've known today's guest, oh gosh, for a good decade. For a good decade. You'll hear us chit-chat about that in a minute. He has been a practitioner of the martial arts and bodywork for over 30 years. He is a father. He is active in his community, making an impact to empower community. And he does that through his education and knowledge in a variety of modalities. He holds certifications in Tai Chi, and even Tai Chi for Parkinson's, and I'll give you a personal testimony about that later. Push hands, and other types of physical integration therapies, body work, etc., as well as herbal counseling. I love his current focus, his teaching for Parkinson's patients, and he's an innovator with exciting new exercise tools coming out for people specifically dealing with brain issues. We're going to have a conversation now of holistic empowerment and healing through what might surprise you when I say healing through the martial arts. Welcome my special guest to the show, Dawei Li. Welcome, Dawei.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you on today's show.
Always wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. So we'll trail back to how you and I met and have worked together in the past in a minute, but I'd like to get our audience in touch with why this matters to you. What pulled your heart and your mind and your body and your spirit to martial arts when it seems like there's so much fighting involved with martial arts? I don't know that the Western world really looks at martial arts with all of its fighting and its force as a modality for healing. Can you kind of connect those dots for us and how that pulled you to it?
Well, to back up, I was a bit of a wimp in high school. I got bullied on occasion. And growing up in the middle of nowhere, there was no martial arts. All I had was Shaolin Theater on TV. So when I first got to college and I saw the sign for karate, I jumped on board and I've been going strong ever since. As far as the fighting, yes, there are. And when it comes to the arts, there's a plethora of different styles, anything from very hard and aggressive to very soft and yielding. And I've done several of them. Now, the Tai Chi is, you know, when people think martial arts, they often think karate, the very hard style, the you know, the bang and the smack and the harshness, whereas Tai Chi goes the opposite way. It goes to the extreme soft and yielding variety. So that, like, for example, if we're talking in a fight, I don't want to meet force with force. I simply want to take your force and send you in a different direction, hopefully not to hurt you, just to get you away from me either long enough for me to explain not a good choice or for me to run or whatever it is. But it's not the aggressiveness. Now, as far as the fight goes, really the fight is, it's an internal battle of the ego versus the subconscious versus all these different aspects of the brain and the emotions. But it's about learning to harness, like you say, learn to harness the power, learn to subdue the ego, learn to disconnect with that anger, and really become a much more softer, loving person in your own self. That's a good question. I'd say probably when I moved to Chicago, I met John and Alfea, two amazing practitioners and teachers. And I'd already I got my certification in massage. So through them, I did the herbs, I did the structural therapy, the craniosacral. But Althea, she was a master herbalist. She was she was like the master at whatever she did. She was so in tune and so in focus on the healing. And she was just this tiny little waif of a person that took up the entire room. Her energy filled up the space. When you actually looked at her physically, there was an air of, where's the rest of you? Because, you know, physically she was so tiny, but energetically she was so large. But she had such a passion for healing and such a passion for natural medicine and meditation. She just really helped me see what I was capable of, as opposed to, you know, at 14, I was getting cortisone injections in my hip because I couldn't run because my hips were that jacked up. So I was able to heal so many lifelong conditions because of the work that she helped me get started on, and just realizing that we are that powerful. We can change every aspect about us. It's not fun. It's often very painful. But if we make that commitment to that healing and to that growth, we can always be moving forward. And that's one thing that's kind of really drawn me into the whole Parkinson's thing is, I mean, I love teaching athletes. I like taking the best of the best and making them better. And right now the universe seems to be saying, okay, right now your focus is on people with brain issues. And as I peer more into that, what more of a, what's the word I want? What more proof can you have than taking someone who is, at least in the medical profession, near the end of their lives, nothing more can be done. They're just going to continue getting worse and worse. And these people, you can see it in their eyes, they're brightening, they're breathing better, they're standing better, they're walking better, they're more fluid, they're more aware. It's amazing to see how quickly some of my students are just diving in and shifting their whole paradigms.
So now let's get personal. In around this time, funny enough, around this time, 10 years ago, I was opening a brick-and-mortar location for a wellness center in southeast Michigan, and I knew that I needed someone offering certain services and classes, and I was on the hunt. And this one particular day, I booked 2 appointments for inquiring folks. I had 2 conversations, and one of them was a gentleman who was offering Kung Fu and Tai Chi, and I forget what else, and he was a great guy. From what I understand, he's, you know, a great, you know, reputation. It wasn't anything that was necessarily bad about him. But then my next appointment for the same role was you. And I knew immediately you and I were supposed to work together. And so you and
now,
was
that before or after you wanted to throw me out of your shop?
Which time?
I think it was the first time, because there was just such a soul connection that we both knew, oh, this is going to be some work.
Yeah, you were able to do work through Lifetime Unlimited at that time, was the brand I operated on. This is preceding, before the Godly Woman and Heaven on Earth Ministries work. I had Lifetime Unlimited and Lifetime Unlimited Ministries were my 2 organizations. And so you were working in the community there at the community center, providing body work, doing classes, working structurally with people. And you worked on my structure. Can we talk a little bit about structure, and then I want to talk about the work that you ended up doing with my father. But I want to tell that story in just a second. Can you talk a little bit about how important structure is inside of this paradigm of body and flow of energy as well?
Oh, well, that can be taken so many different ways, but just from the physical structural aspect, if all the bones and all the joints aren't lined up, that creates great stress. Like, for example, look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. If you were a giant and were holding on to that, because it's in the process of falling, you have to hold and grip onto that. As soon as you release the grip, it's falling over. Well, most people are structurally imbalanced, so they're leaning in one direction, they're dropping in this direction, they're imbalanced in so many ways that if they're not holding on tight because they're not structurally centered, they're going to fall in one direction or another. So doing the deep tissue body work to realign and to soften and to open all those stuck points of tissue so that the skeleton can hold the weight in gravity, that's kind of like the first level, because you're not, once you get in alignment, your body isn't fighting itself. Whereas most people, and it's funny, I used to have a class that I still bring it out on occasion, I call it Baby Steps Kung Fu. And in every Tai Chi class for a new person, I teach them how to stand and walk. Because if you look at the way a baby walks, they lean forward to build momentum, and then they're little fall. Well, most people have modified, but they haven't moved beyond it. So watch the typical person. As soon as they have the thought to take a step, they lead with their face and chest, and then their feet are catching up. So if we can shift that so that they're in good structure upright, and when they take the step, they move with the foot first, and then the body moves as a unit, it's so much easier on the body. It takes much less effort, and there's just the fluidity to it. Now, if you're talking structure...
Okay, I'm going to confess something to you. I got to confess something
okay.
to you. Do you remember teaching me to stand and walk at the center after
it's
I had
been
knee
a minute,
injury?
But yeah.
Okay. I remember you taking me outside and teaching me to stand. Now, my body was doing what you were telling it to do, right? Like, I was following the instructions. It wasn't that I had good form, but I don't think I got what you were trying to instill in me until what you just said just now. I really just got that, and I hope all of you do too, because the next story I want to tell you is of my father's fall. So before I get to that, was there something else you wanted to say about this? Did you want to finish something on that
well,
point?
Just on a different slant in the structure of, in regards to what you're saying of the overall healing, of having that structure in place so that you get in your meditation time, you get in your exercise time, you get in your prayer time, whatever words you give it, you have to have that structure and that time for doing those healing exercises, those whatever the system is, whatever those moments are, you have to give yourself that time to do your own healing work. Or else, you know, it's like if you drive around in your car and you never change the oil, you never rotate the tires, you never change the brakes, eventually that car ain't going to run. So how can you be administering to and helping other people learn and grow if you're not also walking your own path?
I just came up with a great idea for me and you. We have to talk after the show.
Okay, sounds good.
A great idea. I have a group of ladies that we're on a journey right now over the next year. We started March 5th of losing 100 pounds. We have a Wednesday night meetup on Zoom, and we have a Sunday weigh-in. And I think I would like to introduce you to this community. I think we'd like to hire you. They don't know it yet, but we'd like to hire you.
That sounds good.
So let's talk after the show. I've got a client at 3, but we'll still make time. We're gonna make time. I have a great idea. It's really funny, you guys. This is not staged. I authentically had something click as he just said that, and possibly not just because as time and perspective and life goes on, we grow and we see things differently, but also since all of these years have gone by, in 2021, I had a car accident. and I'm currently going through rehabilitation still, and I see a chiropractor, I see a physical therapist, I see a massage therapist for deep tissue. So what the three of them work on with me is everything that Dawei is saying he works on with his clients. And so you can, in one place through one person, I mean, he's not a chiropractor, he's not going to be getting that type of medical adjustment, but he's talking about the structure of body and form being allowing for healing. If your spine and your hips are off, if your gait is off, if you're projecting and thrusting a part of you forward when you walk and your weight is imbalanced, carrying you, making you a risk, you're at risk. You don't know it, possibly because you're young and you've kind of got your wits about you. But that's why when you're a little bit older and you're not quite on your A game, you're not so savvy salve, that's why we fall. Because that gait and that thrust of imbalanced energy that Dawei's explaining that's been holding us really off for many, many decades, we just haven't been alert to it. Now we're really vulnerable. Now we're a fall risk, which really we've been all along. But as you said, we've kind of been working with that Tower of Pisa as a giant and leveraging at weight. But it's really not balanced weight. It's not harnessed, and it's not harnessed power. Really, really brilliant, Dawei. I appreciate you breaking it down that way. So my father fell in 2014 and broke his hip and had a hip replacement. And we were told at that time that he would not walk again, that he had 6 to 9 months to live, and that his quality of life would be very poor. And so with Dawei at the center and me knowing what I know about the nutrition and holistic side of things, we went to work. And my father and I spent 6 months getting him through the hospital and rehab system to get home. It was a very bumpy ride. He did nearly die twice and actually fell during rehab and broke everything again, displaced the hardware, broke his femur, more surgeries. He was getting stronger because of his lifestyle through nutrition, through homeopathics, through essential oils, mindset, right, prayer, touch. We were working on him. But I knew I needed him strong on his feet. So you came in home and worked with my parents for a few weeks after my dad's return. Can you talk a little bit about what you did that worked? He lived for 2 years, by the way, and was able to walk, and he walked with a cane, but he walked. They told us he wouldn't walk, and definitely not without a walker and really dependent. But can you talk about why that was impactful for my father and how that translates also into the work you do today with people who are dealing with structural issue, whether injury or, like my dad, Parkinson's. My father had Parkinson's, dementia, and epilepsy. So can you talk a little bit about my dad's case and then kind of coming into the future and of present?
Well, I can't remember the exact specifics of what I did with your father other than the basics of what I always do, which is coming in. The very first thing is breath, is getting people to breathe deep. Most people aren't getting 25% of their lung capacity, which forces them into fight or flight breathing, which keeps them at the height of their stress game all day long. So shifting their breathing into the belly, into the parasympathetic nervous system, allows the body to take a breather, to relax, so that the body can heal itself. As long as you're in stress, you can't heal. You're burning all your energy to be ready to run, and it doesn't work. So I come in with the breathing, with the posture, with the walking, because what most people have told me, well, pretty much everybody has told me who I run through the walking program, they're like, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought, because my main focus is getting them aware, How does it feel? Okay, here's a good posture. How does it feel? Are you leaning one way or are you leaning the other? Okay, let's move within the structure. Where does the weight move from? Where does it move to? How does it shift through this joint? How does it shift through that joint? Because when, again, going back to the being a baby, you learn how to walk then. Those neural pathways are unconscious now. We can walk all day long. We don't have to think about it. So bringing back to the conscious awareness of what is actually happening, for one, it really creates a good opportunity for meditation, because to pay attention to 14 different points of your body at once really requires the mental focus. And going back to something you said about the stairs, that's another thing I really harp on. Stairs are some of the most dangerous places in our house, and yet we don't think twice about running up and down them while we're thinking 1,200 different thoughts at once. We're just on complete autopilot. Whereas right. If you bring that same level of focus on your feet, counting the stairs when you go up and down, not rushing, not forcing, when you're paying attention, the stairs are a safe place to be. But it's that big switch of going from unconscious monkey mind squawking on to, let me bring this into focus and be right here, present right now as I traverse this dangerous hike that I'm about to go up or down.
I personally really relate to that, because since the accident, I mean, I was a run up the step, skip a step kind of person, you know, when I was young in high school, skipping steps, jumping upstairs. As I was younger, less likely to do that in my current era. However, since my accident, I am a serious fall risk. I'm blind in my right eye. That's my predominant, you know, my prominent side is my right side. I'm right-handed. So I can't see out of that right eye, so I've kind of lost perspective. I don't see things in what they call stereo optics. I see things juxtaposed, so I don't see things with depth. My depth perception has been compromised. So I'm likely to misstep a lot. Now, I've noticed that has made me somewhat like trepidatious in walking, and so I hunch my shoulders. And so I've had to really work on being aware of my physical form as I walk, counting steps, counting stairs. I sometimes have to take a different approach to stairs than I would have in the past, even walking sideways down the stairs, just because I'm vulnerable that way. But can you give us any examples of, like the stairs, things in life that we could be more mindful of? Do you have any tips on everyday activities that how we're sitting, how we're standing, our initial step to move and weight bearing? Can you give us some key tips on day-to-day activities that we could begin being mindful through?
Well, pretty much everything you said, and ultimately, wherever you are, whatever's in front of you, be mindful of that. So like in the videos, I've got videos all over the place I can give you links to about how to do the standing and the walking. And like, for example, let's say you got a long hallway in your house. You make yourself a commitment that X number of times a day when you walk that hallway, you walk it in good form. So it's a matter of, okay, I get to the hallway, take that deep breath, settle into good posture, and then take that first step with conscious awareness. Like, for example, you're at your desk, time to go home, you jump up, flip off your computer, and you're on a 45-degree angle as you're launching out of your desk. It's that mindset of, oh my, I got to get to what's next, but you're not paying attention to what to do to get there. So just slowing it down, being more aware, like you said about, you know, you looking at steps in a different way, getting into your car a different way.
Yes.
Taking that moment, instead of just hitting the gas and going, take that moment to sit down and breathe and like refamiliarize yourself with the space. one of the things we do, we always call it bubbling up, is I see this sphere of light that surrounds me in my car. So when I'm driving, I'm safe. Another little technique I always do, and this got started with my last car that, well, let's just say it had issues. So I'm in the garage getting ready to go about my day, and I see myself arriving at my location safely, and I see myself arriving back in my garage safely. And what it feels like to me is I'm creating my day. Because let's face it, we all often have those, you're driving along, and well, what if? So by setting up my day that I'm going to arrive home safely, anytime one of those errant thoughts pop in, I say, nope, and I refresh my getting home safely. So just another way to set my intentions for the day, to have a good day, to have a happy day, to have a positive day, to, you know, whatever the adjectives are, I don't want to create a miserable, sucky day. And that's what a lot of people do. As soon as they wake up in the morning, they get on their phone, they're checking their email, they're right back into what they were doing yesterday and what they got to do today. And that's such an energy suck. So being able to go, okay, let me take 5 minutes right now and just center and breathe and relax and just get focused, because I don't have to be going at 100 miles an hour all the time.
How do you answer someone that says, yeah, but I got a lot of stuff to do. I can't stop 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes here. What do you say to that?
I'd say, well, you're right. You don't. But if you want to change your mindset, if you want to change the words you're speaking and you want to change those thoughts, yes, you do. People always say, well, I don't have time to. And that's one of the jokes in my classes is after I teach the posture, I teach little swaying exercises to really tune into what is straight. And I say, well, you ever find yourself sitting on a couch, standing in line, sitting in your car? I mean, you can add exercise, you can add intention, you can add meditation and awareness literally to whatever you're doing. And the I don't have time to, well, that's your current mindset, that's what you've created. But like Wayne Dyer said, are your excuses even true? And usually the answer is no. There's always time. Get up and set your alarm 5 minutes earlier. Go to bed 5 minutes earlier so you can have a little bit more quiet time before you fall asleep. You know, there's always ways that you can engineer in that time. It's just a matter of, are you going to make yourself the commitment to do it, or are you going to allow the excuses to rule? Because what is an excuse? The excuse is the ego saying, oh, yeah, I'm gonna, just not right now. And, you know, we can spend the rest of our life going, yeah, I'm going to get to it tomorrow. But it's not until you say, okay, I'm done with the excuses. What can I do right now in this moment? What can I do? What are the three things that I can do today that will help make this a better day? And just start with the little. Like if you know full well with diet, I'm going to eat clean from now on. Well, you just sabotaged yourself. Making those little steps, making the little jumps. And those little steps and little jumps keep on compounding until you look back one day and go, wow, I really did a good, I'm happy where I'm at now. Look at me. Versus a year ago where I was there.
Yeah.
So it's the hardest and the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your perspective. And I'd like to just say this. Like the lady that was going, you know, 70 and a 40, trying to get someplace in a hurry a couple years ago that ran a red light and cost me my sight, 5 minutes of her taking a breath somewhere in a parking lot, she had three kids in the car with her, like 4, 7, and 15 or something ridiculous like that. So a couple of minutes of breathing, of mindfulness, of true thoughtfulness, conscientiousness, giving consideration. I love what you said of what's right in front of you. We're so busy on to the next thing, so to speak. But what's right in front of you? What does that need? How is that needing to be tended to? What's most responsible? What is good stewardship, I like to say? How can you be a good steward of right now and right now and right now? And so ultimately, you know, my takeaway has been for a long time that martial arts, although it does have the opportunity of self-defense, is really genuinely about mindfulness, yes? And like mindful living as a whole.
Oh, that's
and
a big
so,
part of it. With the fighting, and one of the main tenets you hear in a lot of different arts is first learn to hurt, then learn to heal. So first we're learning these big, gross movements, these, you know, sometimes these crazy, outlandish moves. But that's about opening up the pathways and learning how to move the energy. So at first we're swinging a big old hammer. But as you continue to refine and refine, then instead of swinging a hammer, now you have a laser beam. So when it comes to healing work, you can direct that energy very, very specifically for healing work. But of course, you can't. You've got to go through the gross to get to the refined.
I like that. Rough carpentry, then the finished carpentry.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. That brings us to now your work with Parkinson's patients and people who are dealing with issues of brain. How did that come to be your current station, and what is it that you're offering?
Well, I one of my main Tai Chi teachers is a guy named Sugeng Richard Clear out of Tennessee, and he's been training, I don't know, 40-some years, trained all over the world, trained with some of the world's foremost masters. This guy's got some juice. Well, I was down there a couple years ago. He had a Fa Gong healing, which is like a similar to Reiki, an energy healing system, and the Tai Chi for Parkinson's. And I had just gotten into a medical wellness facility, and I thought, you know what, that would really be a good thing to have. And his big thing, he talks about how for on an energetic level, the mind kind of collapses on itself and shrinks. So the big thing to do for that group of people is not only the physical, we want to get the physical moving and all the benefits that Tai Chi does, but we do a lot of Yi skills, which we call mind or mind expansion skills, learning how to extend the mind. So you're literally pushing against those, whatever those boundaries of the mind collapsing on itself, you're learning how to push past that and extend through it. And it's been really amazing. One of my people, she was gone for a few weeks on vacation somewhere, and she came back, and she just run into some friends she hadn't seen in a while. And they said, wow, you're walking so much smoother. And she was kind of surprised to hear it. But then in the next class, you know, we did a few little exercises, and I pointed out, you know, exactly. Because when you're doing it every day, you may not notice the smaller little bumps that you have, but the people around you oftentimes really notice the difference.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not seeing myself, but other people sure are. So what are the first steps that way when someone wants to, you know, say I'm an audience member listening right now and I'm like, you know what, I totally get this. And for my season of life, whether it's someone healthy wanting to be, you know, do preventative measures, or someone dealing with situations already, they've got symptoms and some frailties, vulnerabilities that they'd like to strengthen. If they were wanting to reach out and work with you, how do they work with you? Can you work with people? Do they have to be in your area? Can they work with people remotely? How is your style of working happening with clients right now?
Well, let's see. Right now, I'm teaching in Owosso and Lansing, and I know, you know, just for mid-Michigan, basically. I've also started up a new Zoom exercise Tai Chi class for Parkinson's at Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday morning at 9. And like you, I'm new to the Zoom technology, so I have to get that all tuned and tweaked in, so that may take a few minutes. But there's those online classes. I can also do one-on-one online privates, and I'm also going to be uploading a ton of videos to my YouTube channel so that people can watch them anytime, anywhere.
So there is a current channel right now that folks can go and watch?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the address for that or the page?
Let's see. On YouTube, it's, I believe it's FUKREW 23. That's FUKREW 23. And if you go, it's, for some reason, it's kind of hard to get to. So if you /@FUKREW23, that should bring you right to it. Because there's a lot of anime that will give you other stuff.
Okay. I'll make sure that the link is included in the description of our show here, and that we'll make sure it's in the comments on the thread where it's posted in our social media for Great I Am Radio. Do you have an email address that people can contact you if they were wanting to get in touch with you and ask questions? Is it best to reach you by email, by phone? What's the best way to get in connection with you?
Email's good, and that would be fukreW@fukreW.com. Just so some people know, they
FUKREW.
See.
What is FUKREW?
That's where I was going. So, FU oftentimes means something in this country. Well, in Chinese, FU is the character for happiness and good fortune. So the FUKREW is an ever-growing organization of people who are using Tai Chi and Kung Fu and other healing modalities to improve their worlds and the worlds around them. So one of my goals on that is to have a phone app so that, let's say you're hanging out downtown, you got 15 minutes to kill, you pop on the app. Oh, hey, there's a training buddy 2 blocks away. Now I can make a new friend and do some training. There's also going to be a pay it forward aspect. There's going to be a make new friends, be the change type. So literally it's kind of like, you know, I'm not too big on the FB, you know, good old Marky boy, but the goal is to build a similar platform like that, only it's completely focused on health, awareness, training, and paying it forward. So all the stuff people say they want, it's going to be a one-stop shop for if you're serious about taking your world to a level and getting healthy, then this is where you need to be.
I love that. All right, so if you want to see what Dawei can do with you, for you, in your well-being, first of all, you have my personal vouch, okay? I will always and forever, wherever we are in the world, separate or together, I will always be an advocate for people seeking out your help. I want to say, I don't get a toaster for saying this. Although if you want to get me a toaster,
no.
Dawei, you can totally get me a toaster.
Well, I was looking at a blender at the secondhand shop.
I need one of those hand ones so that I can, like, make my soup, like, right in the single pot. I don't have to keep dumping. I need those little hand blenders.
Nice.
But truly, I believe that what you offer, just in principle what you offer, if you were to seek any of these types of disciplines and this type of practice, I'm an advocate. But I'm in particularly advocating you all reaching out to Dawei Li, because I have been served as a client by him. I know personally the benefit of having the body work, the structural work, learning the basics of the standing and the walking and the breathing. And I know his approach is direct and disciplined. He's a straight shooter. He's going to coach you, but with a lot of kindness and compassion. And you have a great ability, Dawei, to meet people where they are. I think that's why you're so great. That's why you were great with my parents. That's why I'm sure you're great with your Parkinson's community, because you have an intuitive nature to you that really allows you to connect with where people are and meet them where they are and walk with them, quite literally, to the next station. And I really appreciate that about you. And I want the listening community to know, whether you're a local in the mid-Michigan, Southeast Michigan area and want to reach out to Dawei, or whether you're someone from any part of the world who wants to receive his services and coaching and mentorship remotely, virtually, I really co-sign on the kind of work that he does. Excuse me. Let me take a sip of water. Por favor.
All right, while you're doing that, let me mention that on Facebook, I do have a group called Foo Crew, and I think we're in almost 40 countries right now. And right now, most of the people on that group are martial artists in various parts of the world. So that's one of the goals of the crew, is it doesn't matter where in the world you are, we can connect you. The goal is that we can connect you with skilled Integris martial artists worldwide.
That's fantastic. See, you guys, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I mean. This is why I say connect with him. So you can email him at FU, like Kung Fu Crew, at, is it fucrew.org?
fucrew.com.
.com. Okay, I'm going to put it in our notes right now.
And there is also a TikTok, Foo Crew, and that's got, I've got about 20 or 30 different 1 minute kung fu videos. So it's just taking one basic move, either a stretch or a tai chi movement, and just showing you how to do it over and over again. They're quick minuters, and again, that goes into the whole mindset of, well, yes, you may not have time to run to the gym for 2 hours, but you got a minute here, you got 2 minutes there, you got a couple minutes here. You practice it throughout your day, and you can still get a good amount of exercise in without having to dramatically alter your day.
I remember
now,
you
I will
saying
say
this years ago when I met you, that's the lifestyle of the East, that in the Orient, where this is natural, in the organically, in the lifestyle, you can be at a bus stop in your kitchen, walking around life, seeing people in their practice. Is that really how it is? Like, is it just part of the organic environment and climate, or is it gathering places? How is it different in the root of the culture's expression of this versus the West? Are you able to speak to that, or is that outside of your lane?
Well, my experience of Beijing was any park, anywhere, people are doing it. They may call it this name, they may call it that name, but the people
right.
are doing it. So it's, and I know that it's changing, because as this Western machine is trying to infiltrate everywhere, a lot of those practices are fading. But yeah, when I was over there 20 years ago, it was on. It was just always on. And that's one of my goals for America, is literally to make America like China Part 2 when it comes to Kung Fu and Tai Chi, so that, I mean, let's face it, how many kids spend all their days in front of a screen, never see the light of day, never touch a blade of grass against their foot? I want to create an environment where you can go out. Oh, I know if I go to the park, there's going to be people training. Oh, I know if I go here, or I've got people I can call, so that there's never an excuse other than I don't want to, or I don't feel like it. There's always an opportunity for you to connect with other like-minded people who not only want to improve their own worlds, but improve the world at large. Because I'm really fortunate that more and more people are coming to me who are of the same mindset of us, saying, we got to do something or this world's going to. So how do we do that from our hearts and from our passions and share it with those who want it? So that's what I'm doing.
I'm glad that you took it in this direction because you are a dad. You've got two fantastic boys who are becoming men very quickly. How has incorporating these practices and these philosophies, this lifestyle, affected your parenting, their upbringing, and how you work as a family together?
A bunch. One, we don't train together every day, but since I began training with Shifu Lester, one of my other teachers, we all stay together online several times a week, so it's nice to see them doing their training. There's a lot more discipline in our world. There's a lot less violence because, you know, if they want to, if they're feeling randy, they can put on the gloves and throw down. And, you know, it's a much more controlled situation versus what my brother and I used to have.
Right.
It's just, I'd say probably the biggest thing for our overall worlds is that I probably do 2 to 3, sometimes more hours of meditation a day. So I'm able to much more regulate myself. Like, for example, if they're being little buttheads, I can say, okay, I'm triggered. I'm going to walk away and get clear before I deal with the situation. Whereas 10 years ago, oh, I'm just going to blow up and let's see what happens. So since I've become much more calm, the whole house has become much more calm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well said. Well said. So this is truly a practice, an application for all ages. And that way you work with people of all ages, yes? You can work with kids, you can work with parents and kids or families, that kind of group phenomenon, yes?
Yep, I love working with families. I love doing couples because push hands is it's one of the exercises of Tai Chi that you tune in, you really tune into that partner. And if you're doing it with a couple or with a loved one, it's not just about the martial, it's not just about the sense. It's learning how to better and deeper communicate with your spouse or your child on different levels, because as you tune into that person even more, it becomes very apparent when they're not having a good day. And the more you know them, the more you're tuned into them, it's easier to know, do you want me? Do you want me present? Do you need space? You know, you can learn to read the situation and thus create a more harmonious relationship at home. But there's really no end to where this training can go. Like they say, people think, oh, Tai Chi, that's what those old people do in the park. Well, yes, that is true. But Tai Chi is so vast you couldn't learn it all in 10 lifetimes. It goes into levels of the yogis, of the spiritual practices, of just, I mean, some of the stuff that my teachers talk about, other than hearing and understanding what words they're saying, I have no concept of the level of power that they're talking about. I mean, this is the stuff that we read about, oh, this master used to do this, and people go, oh, yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
Right.
But they're training in those levels. And I think that's one of the big reasons why I still get up in the rising and do it every day, because there's a whole lot more power I haven't unleashed yet. And I've probably wasted many a lifetime before. I don't want to waste this one. I want to take
right. This
life and this body and take it as far as I can.
I like to say that I am out to explore and discover how much the I am can transform this Rebecca Johns before the I am leaves the vessel. I am out to press into my own flesh from my spirit and see what exactly I can transfigurate in essence and in form. And I hear that coming from you, and I love that. I love that. Well, Dawei, thank you so much. Remember to reach out to Dawei ask questions, explore options, let him walk you through how he would propose working together. If you were to come on board as a client, as a student, and learn, you will not go wrong. Dawei, thank you again for being on the show today. I'll look forward to having you back on soon. Any final words for the community today?
Today can be a bowl of, or it can be a shining bowl of diamonds. You get to decide.
That's awesome. That's awesome. My TikTok live today was entitled, Partner or Perpetrator? Choose.
Nice. We're always
so
choosing.
We are on the same vibe, my friend. We are on the same vibe. Thank you so much. I'm going to wrap up the show here, but I will see you and talk to you soon. Bless you, Dawei.
Sounds good. You too.
Thank you. That was Dawei Lee of the Foo Crew. F-U. That's for Kung Fu, by the way. FooCrew.com. You can check him out and his body of work and his community. You know, as he shared, similar to my own passion with the Godly Woman and Heaven on Earth Ministries, I am looking for a community of people to be built. I do not want it to be the Rebecca Johns show. This is not for Dawei. That was not the Dawei Lee movement. It's a movement of people that come together as individuals for the whole, and that the whole would encompass and be a blessing, create flow, empowerment for each of the parts. So thank you for tuning in and being those types of people yourselves. You can look to see what we're offering through the Godly Woman and Heaven on Earth Ministries by going to livinggodspromises.com. You hold the essence of Creator within you. Are the great I Am incarnate. And it is a choice, moment by moment, situation by situation. And they compound, they accumulate to become our days, our weeks, our months, and our years. So choose wisely, my friends, starting now. If you haven't prior to now made the best choice for yourself, breathe. Breathe down deep into your core, into your belly, into your hips, and say, I forgive myself, I love myself, and I start now, and then get going. And if we can help, we're here to do so. See you next week. Peace.